Hello there, fine people, and welcome to this episode of One Song where we are here to talk about death. That is the song called Death by Shelley Short, my good friend Shelley Short, whom I had not spoken to for a while, so it was great to catch up with Shelley and see how she's doing down in Australia where she's living now. This is a song that her and I recorded together at a little studio I used to have on the Oregon coast. And we talk about the phenomenon of imagining yourself dying through sudden means. If you've ever imagined throwing yourself in front of a bus or driving off the road suddenly, I think this is quite common, though I'm not positive about that. So if you have this type of experience, please feel free to share that in a comment or something. Otherwise, just enjoy this conversation with Shelley Short.
What is a song? Where do songs come from? What is the life of a song?
How much can a song morph and change before it becomes something else entirely?
Shelley Short. How are you doing, Shelley?
Hi. Good. That was a cool effect.
Did you like that?
Yeah. It feels real.
Thanks so much for doing this. I have three introductory questions that I've been asking everybody. And you can answer whichever ones you want. You don't have to answer them all. But they are... How many years have you been on this earth? Where in the world are you now? And what was the last meal that you ate?
Okay. 41 years.
Okay.
Sydney, Australia.
Uh-huh.
And I had I've recently got an air fryer. Everything in it now. And I cook some sweet potatoes and carrots in the air fryer.
Wait.
The best invention. So it's just a little contraption, and it has a basket as if you were deep frying something, but it's just air. It's just hot air. So there's no oil or.
Does it like scorch the edges of the thing so it gets a bit crispy?
Yes, they get browned on edges and everything. They're so good. I mean, for like carrots and potatoes and sweet potatoes.
This feels like the type of thing that, you know, there's got to be a great infomercial for this that's on TV, you know, that shows all the different things being air fried and a guy telling you, call this number right now and you can get it for three easy installments of this much.
I mean, I didn't, it was a gift actually. I wouldn't have bought it for myself, but it's knowing now I would work for the company. They're so great. But anyway.
Wow. Well, maybe they need a jingle or something, you know? You might be able to make them a little, get a sponsor.
Air fryer.
Yeah.
Get it today.
I do love all the old jingles.
Yeah, me too.
It's amazing how they stick in our head, you know? There's little jingles that were on TV when I was a kid that I'll never forget, I don't think.
Can you think of one? I mean, put you on the spot.
Yes. Sleep country, USA.
USA.
Why buy a mattress anywhere else? Ding. That's it.
I always remember that one too. For some reason, that one always stuck in my head.
There's a, you'll find it at Fred Meyer. Yeah. These are real Oregon things, I think.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So
the sleep mattress always, yeah.
There are some delays here, so if I talk over you, it's not because I'm trying to interrupt you, but it, you know, it's a bit awkward at times. But
okay, sorry, didn't realize.
Like I just said, those are very Oregon jingles. So that shows that you're not originally from Australia, are you? You grew up in Oregon.
Yeah.
A native Portlander, actually.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Born and raised.
Would it be all right for you if I kind of, because I have a distinct memory of the moment that we met.
Yeah.
And so would it be all right with you if I just kind of told that story real quick?
That'd be great.
Okay. So I think the first time that you and I met, I was 18 years old or maybe 19. And it was Seattle. It might have been Bellingham or something. And I was on tour with our friends, Adam Selzer, Rachel Blumberg, Norfolk and Western was the band that I was playing in. And we had been, I think we got kind of last minute added to this bill. Can't remember, was it in Seattle? It was somewhere in Washington. Might have been Seattle. We got added to this bill. I think we got added kind of last minute. And the other acts were you and Tom Brousseau. And I think this was the first time I met you. And it was a disaster of a show for us because we got added as a support, but we got asked to play last. So like you played and then Tom played and then Tom did an encore and then everybody left and then we went on. So it was a total disaster, but I have this very distinct memory of watching you play that night and you were up on stage. You had a stool next to you with a Discman on top of it, you know, like a portable CD player. And you had backing tracks that you would play from your Discman. And for anyone who's ever had a Discman, most of them, like if you pressed skip to the next song, it'll go beep. So you would like finish a song and then you'd hear like beep, 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 beep. And then your next backing track would start and you'd start playing along with it. And I was kind of amazed by, I'd never thought to use a Discman in that way, you know? Hats off to you for that. Do you remember that night at all? It was probably the middle of a tour for you.
Was it a small place that had peanut shells on the floor?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, so... So then,
but I don't think it, but that was Bellingham. Yeah. Anyway, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it might have been Seattle.
Could have been Seattle. I think it was Seattle. Yeah.
But then, you know, we have a lot of friends in common from Portland, Oregon music scene, but you know, I think our paths only crossed a few times in those days, and then I moved abroad for a while, and I came back, and I remember the moment when you came into my radar very distinctly again, because I found a record that you had made with a band that you did all cover tunes on, Wake the Dreamers. I found that in a Portland shop and I started listening to that like a lot as I was making my move back to Portland, and I reached out to you. And you remembered who I was, I think. You know, we'd met enough times that you remembered me. And one thing led to another, and I told you I had a little recording studio out on the coast, and we ended up doing some recordings together out there. And that's where we recorded the song that we're here to talk about today, which is Old Coast Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, do you... What do you want to say? Do you remember the moment that you wrote that song, or what the sort of inspiration for the song and how it came about?
Yeah, I remember distinctly writing that song. And I don't always with songs, but I remember it coming, first idea of it was actually coming to your studio from Portland. So right. When I was recording with you, I would come up for like maybe 3 days or
a chunk
at a time, and then go back to Portland and then come back. So I was on the Old Coast Road a lot. Sometimes it would be at night. Sometimes it was dark. Sometimes often it was rainy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember always sort of thinking, you know, that road is like, there's no place to pull off if you need to. It's like this wide, and then there's a big cliff this way.
You should see the roads in Ireland, Shelley.
I know, that's nothing, right?
Yeah.
But then, so there's a big cliff this way, and then that, like, on this side is straight down to the ocean.
Right.
On this side is a cliff. And so I just, you know, like human error, like sneezing or coughing or, you know, what if?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm alone. And I'm sure a lot of people. But I do remember actually pulling off in Manzanita. I had that little ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little baritone ukulele. I remember pulling off along the beach and writing that song. Well,
wow. In the car?
Yeah. Part of it, yeah, in the car. Wow. In my 98 Honda Civic.
Fantastic. So the first line of the song is like, oh, if I die tonight on the Old Coast Road. And from what I remember, the original title of the song was Death.
And it is actually Death now.
Oh, is it?
It was Death, and then it was Old Coast Road, and now it's Death again.
Oh, yeah. I've got to change the name of this episode then. It's Death. Oh,
shoot. Good thing I said
Wait a second.
Yeah, have a look-see.
Because I've got the record
look on
here.
Look on the album.
It's Death. Okay. Well,
maybe on the tape. Oh, you've got all three. Oh.
Got all three here, Shelley. The tape. Yeah. The tape doesn't say the track list.
Oh, okay.
Let's see what the vinyl says.
Vinyl should say Death.
Vinyl says Death. Wow. This is poor research done on my part. I don't know why I thought it was Old Coast Road.
It was originally Old Coast Road. And then right before I had the vinyl printed, I just thought, why scoot around the big idea here? It's Death.
I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but was there something about you showing this song to your parents and them being kind of like uncomfortable with you imagining your own death?
Oh, I don't think so.
No? No. I must have made that up.
Maybe. I mean, I think my parents are pretty like open to talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
So you say, if I die tonight on the Old Coast Road, the wind and the rain send me sailing.
Yeah.
So you're kind of imagining being the forces of nature throwing you off this road.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like, you know, dark, you know, those nights when your windshield wiper is like,
yeah,
and it's not doing anything. Like, you might as well not even have windshield wipers. It's like,
yes.
I mean, you're just putting faith, even like, you know, those dark roads, they don't have street lights. If you don't have your brights on, you're just like, well, hope there's nothing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. But it reminds me of this phenomenon where, like, I don't know if you've ever been, say, like waiting for a train, and just as the train is approaching, you just kind of imagine throwing yourself onto the train tracks. Feeling. It's that feeling. It's that. And I assume that must be a somewhat common phenomenon. And I tried to look it up and see if, you know, if it has a name or something. And some folks call it the imp of the perverse.
Ooh.
Which apparently comes from an Edgar Allan Poe story.
Huh.
But it's like the idea, I guess, being that, you know, the way we sort of minimize the bad thoughts, you know, and try to keep them out of our head, but then they come bubbling up from time to time.
Definitely.
But the thing I was reading was saying that actually, you know, or like people who are standing at a cliff, and standing there looking down and just imagining throwing themselves off it or something.
I'd be surprised if someone hasn't had those thoughts.
Right. And what the thing I was reading was saying that, you know, you shouldn't be afraid at all by this happening. And in fact, there was a study done that said, you know, if you're there having that thought and you're not like backing away from the cliff, you're standing there looking down and imagining throwing yourself off, you're probably actually less likely to kill yourself.
That's interesting.
Isn't that?
Because, you know, having it like a small infant.
Yeah.
Like I kept having this feel like I kept having these visualizations that I accidentally drop him.
Right.
Pretty gruesome, actually. I'd be like, what if I, you know, I'd see some stairs and I'd be like, oh, but I guess it helps you protect, you know, if you're thinking of those things ahead of time.
Yeah.
It means I'm going to be more careful carrying him down the stairs.
Exactly. You're present. You're bringing your awareness to that.
Yeah.
And therefore, hopefully less likely to.
Hopefully.
For the disaster to happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess all it would take for me to go off that road, Old Coast Road, was.
Yep. Just a little, especially in the rain where you can't see anything.
In the rain, you know, and people, and what if I was one of those people that had my phone in the car, which I don't. I was, you know, well, I got to text Peter, let him know I'm running late to the studio.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah. I swear that you told me someone, your parents or your grandparents, where you played the song for them and they were made uncomfortable by it because it made them have to imagine you dying.
Huh. Maybe it was. Maybe it was my parents.
Unless I'm
maybe them talking about, I guess when you have, like, if your kid's talking about dying, you're like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be strange, though, for me to remember that and you to not, but I could have just made it up, Shelley.
But also, my memory's really bad.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's not as good as yours. So it could be.
Is there anything, I want to listen to the song at some stage here and then sort of come back to talking more about the recording process, that sort of technical, boring stuff. Potentially boring stuff, but is there anything you want to say first about the song itself? What in any other lyrical passage or any other points in there that hold any special meaning to you?
Well, always with that song, it's one of those songs that just comes out.
Right.
You know, it doesn't take very much time. But like when I first recorded it with you and then played it for people. A lot of people are like, are you stealing this melody from, like, it sounds really familiar. And it's always just felt really familiar to me, the melody, but I haven't yet heard what song I probably accidentally borrowed from, but it feels like, it does feel Irish to me. Like it feels.
I have a point that goes along with that to bring up later on. Yes.
Okay. Well, I've always thought like I'm not one that's like, you know, you stole this melody from like,
right.
I feel like often melodies are recycled or you just hear something and just be influenced subconsciously. But I've always just, what song is like, it just seems like a melody that already existed, but I've never heard that. Like consciously remember hearing that melody, if that makes sense. But it just feels like it's an old song somehow.
Yeah, I know that feeling distinctly where like a melody comes along and it comes along so easily when you're writing a song that you're like, surely I picked this up from somewhere, but you can't quite place where you picked it up from. But I've always felt like for one thing, sometimes that's a sign of a good song. When a melody is so natural that it feels like it's always been around. But I've always kind of felt that way with your music. Like there's, I think as well that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you have an interest in real sort of for lack of a better word, traditional songcraft, you know, like folk music. It feels like what you do feels embedded in a sort of time-tested tradition of music making.
Cool. I mean,
does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, that's
you?
My favorite. It's my favorite. Those seem to be my favorite songs. Yeah. Often are the ones that you can't find who wrote them because they're so old.
Right.
There's no. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So. But I've always kind of felt that way about your music, like the sound of your voice and the melodies themselves, they feel familiar somehow. Even if I haven't heard that exact song already, there's a sort of familiarity to it that is very comforting, in fact, and very it sort of resonates strongly because it's like I already know it somehow. It's
cool.
I don't know how to explain that, but
kind of like how I feel about the death song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you say the kind of chorus line of the song is it true what they say about dying? Is it true what they say about dying?
Yeah.
What do you, now you don't have to explain that anymore if you don't want to, but I'm curious if you want to explain. What did you have in mind when you thought, is it true what they say? What is what they say about dying?
Well, I guess I was implying, you know, three things.
Okay.
Is it true what they say about dying? That you just die and that's it. There's nothing. Because they do say that. Some
they do.
Or that there is a spiritual afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there heaven and hell,
mm-hmm.
or is there some? Is there like these are the point like the great the points I think about like
mm-hmm.
Are you reincarnate? You know, do you come back in some form somehow another way? Like, are those things true?
Yeah.
You know, those big ideas that we always hear about.
So you were encapsulating all of those.
All of those.
Right.
Are those things true? Yeah, it wasn't just like one thing.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, should we have a listen to the song and then we could perhaps talk a little bit more about how it was recorded and a little bit more of that process of collaborating together?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I have to do one little thing here. When was the last time you heard this song, Shelley? Did you listen before this?
I didn't. I listened to half of that demo, but
okay.
So we're listening to it. Am I actually listening to it?
You should be able to hear it. Let's see.
Oh wow, okay.
Let's see. You ready?
Okay.
Oh, if I die tonight on the old coast road, cause the turns and the rain send me sailing over the little wall made of bricks thick with salt, and I landed right there in the water, and the waves picked me up and carried me to a place only death will allow you. Would there be people there, or do they disappear? Is it true what they say about dying? Is it true what they say about dying? And what are the thoughts that would pass through my mind as I flew through the air towards the wall? Sweet souls, but I miss. Oh, and what about regrets? Is there even a sweet ever after? So much to miss, much to miss. Does your mind make a list when it all ends like this? Wish we could talk when we're gone. But they say it's a shame it all ended this way. It was quick with no time to surrender. Would I be in the sea among others like me? Is it true what they say about dying? Is it true what they say about dying?
There it is.
Hey. Can I just say before we go on that recording with you was by far the best recording experience I've ever had.
Oh, Shelly.
Like bringing these like ideas to you, and you just like made it so easy. Like to,
wow.
And then you made the song sound so good. And it was just so fun. It was the best.
Yeah. We had a good time.
And it wasn't like, you know, on a timeline or.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was so enjoyable.
I'm so glad to hear that.
You made it feel so enjoyable. Yeah. So thank you.
Oh, well. I'm really glad we got to do it. I missed that spot actually. My sister just moved out of there. She had been kind of holding down the fort there for years, but she's out now, and so it's that chapter is fully closed. So now I can look back at all these recordings very nostalgically, you know.
Well, it's because every time I hear a song that I recorded there with you, it brings me back to that time. That it was just a really fun time for me in my life. Yeah.
Well, I was going back into the folder of all the files of this session in preparation for doing this conversation. And I came across some things that I had forgotten about that perhaps you've forgotten about as well, which really made me laugh. Do you remember, so after the first chorus ends there in that song, there's a little solo. Brian Mumford takes a solo there. But do you remember, we tried out several things in that solo. Do you remember that at all?
I do. Well, I remember, was there a flute?
Well, okay, so this is where it starts to get into the Irish thing. You mentioned how the melody sounds quite Irish, and so I don't remember exactly how this whole process played out, but I have each separate version of what we went through.
Wow.
And so can I show that to you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, it says the wrong title for your song.
I think that
on the screen.
I do remember this. And I think this was how it was for a long time.
One of the versions I had said like final mix, but it
yes, this is what I'm saying.
Not,
it wasn't.
Yeah. Not what ended up on the record. But so first of all, we have the first version I have is like, it's like a solo fiddle. I'm playing the fiddle and I'm basically just mimicking your voice on the melody. So check this out.
Yeah.
Is it true what they say about dying? And what are the thoughts that would pass?
So that was the first attempt. Whoops.
Yeah.
That was the first attempt. And I with this whole little podcast, I kind of like the idea of showing the failures within making a song, you know?
Yeah.
and the ways in which you stumble to get to the end result sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly why we decided not to use that, but I assume it just, like, it sounds nice, but it's not that exciting, you know? It doesn't, it doesn't add something new to the song. It's kind of repeating what's right. there already. And so I'm assuming that's why we decided to can it. But the next one really cracks me up because it's like we decided not to go for it. And so the only way I can imagine we got to this next one is I'm like, well, first let me try and add 50 more instruments doing the same thing. Because it sounds all of a sudden like a drunken Irish ensemble playing the melody. And I think there's even tin whistle in there. And I think this is the only time really? I've ever recorded tin whistle. And so if you think this melody sounds Irish, listen to this version here.
It's very Celtic, yeah.
Is it true what they say about dying?
So, you know,
it's like a pub, like an Irish pub yes, you walk into.
It certainly is. And so, you know, wow. So I add 50 more instruments doing the melody and we're like, nope, this still doesn't work. And it's like it works even less.
Was that a banjo or a mandolin?
I think there's both. I think I took every single instrument I could find in the studio and added it doing that melody.
Wow, that is Celtic. Yeah.
Very, very Celtic. So wow. then we reached out to your partner, Darren, to ask if he might like to try a solo. Right. Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yes, I do.
So, but I think what he sent back, I think he again himself was very much mimicking the original melody. And I think what you wanted was something different to come in there.
Yes, so, yeah.
And yes. I don't have a version where Darren's melody is mixed in, but I thought, you know, let's give Darren his moment of letting his little guitar solo be heard. Maybe I can play it on its own here. And what I love about this is that you can hear a little dog barking in the background a few times. It's a lovely little
that's
solo.
A lovely little, like, without anything around it. That's lovely.
Yeah. He could have done
maybe a bit too, you know.
Too on the nose with the melody.
Too on the nose, yeah.
But, like, he could make a whole solo guitar version of the whole song, I think, you know?
Yeah, it's very lovely. I forgot
it's
about
quite,
that.
Yeah, it's quite rich and nice, so.
Yeah.
So, but for whatever reason, which I still don't exactly remember, you weren't quite feeling it still. And so then you reached out to your friend, Brian Mumford, who I must get on this little show at some point because, you know, he's a very fascinating musician in his own right.
Yeah, definitely.
And he always kind of does quite... He's a bit of a mad scientist or something, you know, with music. Like he always comes up with things I think that are like, whoa, how'd you come up with that? Yeah. So if you want something that's not just copying the melody, I'd say he was the perfect person to reach out to.
Yeah.
So let's just hear what he did again real quick in that part to just hear the difference between what we just heard and what he did.
Okay.
Is it true what they say about dying?
I just love that, what he did. It's just so perfect, isn't it?
It is. And it's perfect in a way that someone like me would never have come up with. It's like, I don't know. It's like I attach myself too much to the melody of the song itself, you know? And so, but Brian's just like in his own world, you know? He's got his own, I don't know, I was blown away by that and the kind of how odd and beautiful at the same time that it is.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it's really, that.
But it like the like what you were saying before, like about how songs can sound old and sort of, but I like when people can hear something in songs that, but see, this is why I like recording with you, because I feel like you do the same thing. You can bring like what to me is one of my sort of like, you know, sort of, I find them just what I would do, but mm-hmm. I need, but you and collaborating with someone like you, you could like hear something in it that I wouldn't hear. And I think you did that with a lot of the other songs too.
Sure.
And I think Brian did it with that solo. Cause it sounds like we were, sorry, there's an airport over here.
Wow.
It sounds like we were sort of, you know, hearing that Irish melody and just going with that. Yeah.
But we needed to get out of it somehow.
We needed to get out of that.
Brian got us out of there. Yeah. We'd had too many pints of Guinness and we were stuck in the pub.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The other amazing thing and slightly horrifying thing about this is, and this is when I knew, Shelley, this is when I knew that you were a solid person, is one day, this was after we had made what is labeled at one stage the final mix, right? I thought it was the final mix, but you came and said, I really want to put in this guitar part that Brian has done. So you came back out to the studio and we opened up the session again, only to find out that somehow I had like deleted all the files.
Yeah, I remember. I don't know how that happened. I do remember that. It's sort of one of those things where you sort of do a double take.
Yeah.
Look at your computer and look back and think, what? Wait. Yeah.
But your response to that was like, I was losing my cool more than you were. And if I was in your shoes, you know, I would have been, I don't know, I would have been a little bit panicked, I think. But you really kept your cool in that situation. And that's when I knew, like, you know, like, that's, you can tell, like, okay, Shelley would be like a cool person to travel with, or, you know, in these situations under pressure, this person's going to keep their cool. And that says a lot about someone's character, I think, Shelley.
To be honest, it was just because I'm really enjoying myself out at the recording the album was for me less about the outcome of what we're getting at the end of the day when it was all over, but the process.
Yeah.
So definitely that, not all albums, but definitely that one was just,
I really like that. I really like that. I've tried to tune in more to that, because I think for many years I was very much a result oriented person in my mind, and sort of sometimes even rushing through things because I'm so fixated on having the result and the product to show, or, you know, very eager to finish it. But I think over the years I've sort of made more of an effort to focus on just the process itself, because that's all you get at the end of the day, isn't it?
It is.
Like, once you get a physical album, it's like, it never actually, it's like you've already had your most important moments with this music already, once you get it in your hands. And if the process wasn't good, then you're wasting your time, I think, to put it bluntly.
I think so. You know, I struggle now because that process recording at Sparkle, I don't know how to, I want to have my next record, I want to record in a way that is as enjoyable, but I don't know how to find that.
It's a fine line though, because, you know, there are people who claim that you have to sort of sometimes in order to make something great, you have to kind of go to hell and back. And I don't know how much I agree with that, but I think in some cases it may be true, you know, It may be true, yeah, that you just, in order to make something great, you kind of have to struggle a bit along the way. I don't think it should be true all the time. And I know from experience, it doesn't have to be true. Part of me wants to believe it doesn't have to be true at all, but.
Yeah. But Kay, but I agree, but I think that that could be writing the songs could have been difficult. I think that some process of it could be difficult, but I don't think it has to be. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of, I don't think that's what makes.
It doesn't have to be, but at the same time, you can't expect it to be easy all the time either, right?
No, I guess that makes sense. No.
Yeah.
But I love how it was so, I love doing things that are organic and sort of open to them. Like I think you just called me up one day and said, I've got this studio. You want to, it was low pressure.
Yeah.
You're like, if you want to just record some fun things and see what happens. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. So I think that studio time, I perform better when there's less pressure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like if you're in a big, fancy, expensive recording studio where you know that like every minute is costing you $50, it's not going to be enjoyable. And not only that, but the people that work in those studios, not all the time, but a lot of the time, they're worn out. They're a bit jaded. They're at work, you know?
Yeah, and they're paying too.
When it hits 5 o'clock, they want to go home and get out of there because they've been in that studio every day for the last 20 years or whatever. So very, very different to like a dude who lives alone on the Oregon coast that has some fun gear and is like, hey, come out and hang out and make some music.
Yeah. And just not, I didn't go. That was the cool thing about it. I didn't go out there planning on recording an album.
Yeah. We just started with just trying something out, didn't we?
Yeah,
and we.
I like living that way. Sometimes it's doesn't work out. Sometimes it's.
Yeah.
I don't plan enough, but I do like being open to things happening. Because there's a balance there.
I remember going out to the. Sorry, Shelley, you go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say, I remember going out to the beach itself, and with a microphone and recording the sound of the waves and stuff as well, putting some of that into the record. And you ended up calling the record Pacific City, which is the name of the
Pacific
town
City.
Where the album was made. So it's clear that, you know, the place kind of became a part of the whole project, didn't it?
Definitely. And that song Death was written on the way there.
Yeah.
But I do have a funny story about that song Death.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I got invited to go to this prison in Oregon and like work, do songs with inmates.
Uh-huh.
And we're all in this room, and it was weird because it's this high security prison, but I was just in this circle with probably 30 prisoners around. And they were all sort of sharing poems that they'd written or sharing about some art that they're working on. And I had brought my guitar and they asked me to play a song. So I said, well, this song I'm going to play, it's called Death. And this guy in the circle, he stood up and he's like, Death, Death, Death. He loved it. He just got really excited because the name of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But a lot of people really respond to the death part. Like when I play it live, people, song's called Death, they laugh. Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting.
The bluntness of it, you know?
Just called Death, yeah.
Yeah.
But he got up in his chair, he's like, Death, Death, Death. But yeah, so.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, he ended up being really cool. He wanted to, because he wrote like, I guess, raps, but like Edgar Allan Poe-esque, he said. He said he was a mix between Eminem and Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah.
It's the second time Edgar Allan Poe has come up.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
That's true.
No, but
what is that thing called that you said?
The imp of the perverse. It's like if you imagine a little, like, tiny little demon in your head that just loves all the really perverse and twisted stuff.
You're going to fall. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to just jump off the cliff?
I might as well just jump. Try it.
What if you throw someone else off?
Give him a push.
You know,
that's that. Yeah.
That guy lives inside your mind as well, somewhere.
He really does.
But I'm realizing just to get back to where the files got deleted.
Oh yeah.
So you came out to finish up adding this last bit of Brian's solo to this song, but we go to pull up the session and the files are gone. So what's cool though is that we did it anyway, and we just in the part of the solo we re-recorded the whole song.
That's right.
Yeah, we re-recorded the guitar, everything, and we were very unsure if it would be a seamless transition, but it really is, to the point where, you know, you can easily forget that there's.
I had forgotten. So was it the kind of thing where one of us had headphones and playing along with it, and you would cut out and come back in.
Yeah.
That part. Wow.
Right. So
yeah, that's right.
In those moments where the solo plays, there's one in the middle there and there's another bit at the end. It's spliced to an entirely different recording of the song.
And that's right.
I think
it's problem solving at its best, I think. Well done.
Personally, yeah. I'm amazed that it worked out that well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we managed there, but
yeah.
Hui. Mm. It was definitely a bit of a brain scramble.
Were you using like Clean My Mac? Did you, and it just like deleted everything?
I really couldn't tell you why or how, but it's not the first time that's happened. I've had it happen before where I just, you know, grab the wrong folder on the desktop and put it in the trash and empty the trash. And then empty the trash. Yeah. See, I'm a real trash emptier. I like to keep that trash bin nice and empty.
My trash bin is so full. Because I think just in case.
I guess my problem is I run out of space a lot. So I have to keep emptying the trash so I have more space again.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I think what we could do is end this little episode with the demo recording of yours.
Oh, okay.
You still have the demo of the song, which is great. I wrote to you and asked, you know, do you by any chance still have the demo? And you're like, I do. It's right here on my computer.
Out of tune. The guitar is a bit out of tune.
Yeah, the guitar is great.
My guitar, though. Yeah.
It also sounds like there might even be like another chord or two in there, like a 7 sort of transitional chord. I don't know. Am I just hearing things? But I hear something slightly different in the harmonic chordals.
Hmm. Maybe there was something different.
Is there anything else you want to say about the song before we wrap it up?
No, but it was just a fun experience.
Yeah. What about, you know, where would you direct people if they want to try and find your album or check out what you're doing or what you might be doing in the near future?
Well, Bandcamp's a good place to go.
Yeah.
I have a Bandcamp and that Pacific City's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you are you got some new songs brewing? I know you're a new mother, so your time must be
limited.
Yeah,
people ask me, are you putting a new record out? And I'm like, this is my latest release.
Right? Yeah.
And I point to the baby.
Yeah.
But I do have like 6 songs that I wrote before Rocky. But it's really weird now because the world just feels so different now than before. I wrote them before, you know, the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
And it just feels like things have altered a little bit. And I don't know how those songs are going to.
You could do like a before and after sort of record, like side A is the before and side B is like, this is the new world.
Peter, you're genius.
I mean, it just sounds like it's made itself already.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Because it's six songs. So.
Six, yeah. It's easily perfect for half of a record.
Yeah.
Yes, well, Shelley, not only do I hope we get to make some more music soon, but I really miss playing cards together.
Oh, shithead.
Shithead. Shelley and I really, Shelley taught me a card game called Shithead, which,
it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yes. I've taught it to a few friends. I have a couple friends over here that I play cards with when I meet them.
Oh, that's good.
We do play a bit of Shithead. We also play Blackjack. It's a really good game.
Oh, that's a good one.
But
yeah.
But you were always that was the only time when I've seen Shelley's sort of sweet politeness subside for a bit.
No way.
You know, when you get in the game, you're in it to win it.
Did I ever tell you that my aunt, she didn't like swearing? She likes that game. She doesn't like swearing.
Okay.
And she always called it excrement appendage.
What?
Which is so much worse.
Isn't it? Why don't you just call it poop head? Is it excrement appendage?
Yes. Yeah.
That just sounds like you're.
It's much worse. I
deep
know.
In a dark, twisted sci-fi laboratory.
And it's like appendage. It's not just the head. It's like just gross excrement. Like
it sounds like you have an appendage made out of excrement.
Right. I mean,
ugh.
Yeah. Anyway.
What a great note
sometimes
to end,
it's better to
end this conversation on.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much, Shelley. I'm going to play this demo and then it'll be all done here.
It'll be all over. All right.
Oh, if I die tonight on the old coast road, 'cause the turns and the rain send me sailing over the little wall made of bricks thick with salt, and I landed right there in the water, and the waves pick me up and carry me to a place only dead. Will allow you. Would there be people there, or do they disappear? Is it true what they say about dying? Is it true what they say about dying? What are the thoughts that would pass through my mind as I flew through the night towards the water? Whose sweet souls would I miss? Oh, and what about regrets? Is there even a sweet ever after? So much to miss, much to miss. Does your mind make the list when it all ends like this?